We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr, touchdown, Detroit Lions. TJ Hawkins, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Spotify Green Room. I am your host, Tyler. We are live on Spotify Green Room, hosted by Blue Wire. And we are here today to recap the Lions' second preseason game versus the Pittsburgh Steelers in Heinz Field. The Lions fall short in this game, 26-20, making it a very interesting game in the second half. We're going to recap it all from the start of the game all the way till the very end of the game. And all the guys that stood out, some guys are disappointed. We're going to recover all the game. But let's introduce my two co-hosts, Pierre, Malcolm. How are you boys doing today? We'll start off with Pierre, and then we'll get the, you know, the grand entrance by Malcolm. But Pierre, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, you know, after that tough start. Kind of felt better later.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting game. We'll get into that, but it was a very interesting game. Malcolm, how are you doing today, buddy?
Finally, Mr. Hart has come back to Spotify Green Room. And before I even get into anything, what the fuck did I just watch just now? Oh my lord!
Yeah, it's something. It's time you won't get back, unfortunately, especially the first half of that ball game. But we have a lot of pinpoints to get into. I made a couple notes I want to cover, you know, in this podcast, because there's a lot to talk about. We saw a lot in this game. A lot of bad, a lot of ugly, some good, a lot of ugly again. I mean, it was a lot of everything in this game. I want to start off with this defense, though. This defense, you know, we saw the first team defense, and they had some true competition today because this was the Steelers' third preseason game, so they trotted out their starters for, honestly, a lot of this game. I mean, most of this first half was a lot of these Pittsburgh Steelers starters on offense. You know, you saw Big Ben get a couple of drives on offense. You saw Juju basically play the whole first half. We saw their rookie tight end, Pat Freiermuth. He got a lot of action that first half. Former Detroit Lion, Eric Ebron, Deontay Johnson. Like, they had a lot of their starters out there in this game. And this Lions defense had a lot of their starters on, you know, out there too as well. And, you know, just a short summary, they struggled. And I'd say especially the secondary. I'm going to kick it off to Pierre. What's something you saw from this Lions, not fully first-team defense, but from, you know, the defense that they charted out to start the game? What did you see out of this defense to start the game?
I don't want to overreact. Like, the starting linebackers and starting D-line was out, but the secondary was awful. Like, everyone. Maybe Amani was the only one who had a good game. The rest, like, Okuda got beat really bad. Will Harris was late on a play. Tracy Walker wasn't good in coverage. Shout out to AJ Parker, though, undrafted kid, played well with the starters. He was good too. Okuda did have a nice bounce back, though, with the pass breakup. But they got to be better, bro. They're young. I know they're playing against the Steelers starters and the linebackers and D D-line's there, but those guys have to be better in coverage.
Yeah, I want to specifically talk about that one play, the big one that everyone's talking about, the 43-yard reception on third down from Big Ben to Deontay Johnson. Akuda, yep. I mean, he got beat. I mean, he got beat bad. And, you know, I think it seemed like at least Akuda was waiting or looking for the help from his safety, which was Will Harris on that play. It was just an ugly play all around, you know, from starting with Akuda getting, you know, beat by Deontay Johnson. Because, you know, he's a number three pick, and there's expectations of being the number three pick, especially at that cornerback spot. And, you know, all the hype we've been hearing about Akuda in camp, and obviously had a struggling year last year, and I'm not trying to over-exaggerate right now, but that's not a play you want to see out of the number three pick, out of Jeff Okuda. For a guy that we have a lot of high expectations for, that's not a play you want to get beat. And I know Deontay Johnson's a talented wide receiver. He's got a lot of speed. But overall, that's just something you don't want to see from your cornerback and your safety. I mean, your safety's got to respond a lot quicker than what Will Harris did. I mean, he was really, really late to that play. I want to get Malcolm's analysis on that play. So, you know, specifically that play, the play where Deontay Johnson burned Akuda, Will Harris was late. What did you kind of see on that play? Who do you put more of the blame towards, you know, in that play in general?
All right, and this is coming – I'm just going to explain that play because I actually had to go back a few times and see what – to see what type of coverage you're in. And I just my opinion on it – well, my perspective on it because I actually played corner. They're in a cover three. And in that route, in that play itself, when you're a corner and you're playing cover three, you have the deep. You have deep. Like, you don't expect help over the top. You have the deep. You know, you have that side you're on. You have the deep, and you just got burnt. And in that play itself, yeah, Will Harris could have bailed him out. Will Harris could have, you know, because Will Harris playing the middle of the field, he could have ran over there, broke the play up. But that's not really Will Harris' responsibility. Will Harris' responsibility is the middle of the field. In that play, he just got burnt. This is what he got burnt. This is what it is. But that play that you're talking about him bouncing back, that was a good play by Jeff Okuda. And that's what we want to see from Jeff Okuda is him making plays, making those tough plays, you know, breaking up, you know, those touchdown passes. But it was just a bad that first play when he got burned, it was just a bad play by Jeff Okuda.
Yeah, okay. That's fair enough. I think I agree with you. I mean, Akuda getting burnt was the start of the play of, you know, the downhill of the play. Because if Akuda doesn't get burnt like that, you're not putting Will Harris in that situation. I think you could put the blame on both guys, but I agree with you. I think it's more towards Jeff Akuda on that play because he is the one who got burnt. And, you know, maybe he was expecting some help and obviously didn't get that help as early as he needed it in that play. But, you know, it was just not a play you want to see, though. I mean, that was a third and long. You know, your D-line was getting some pressure. It was just a tough play, man. I thought the defensive line, missing a lot of starters, I thought it was solid today. You know, I didn't think the defense was overall very good, but I thought the front four stepped up to a certain degree. I thought they did a better job at getting pressure to the quarterback. But something I want to get into that was really frustrating throughout the whole game, and especially that first half, I'm going to go into tackling. Simple fundamentals of the game, man. Tackling was horrendous in this game all around, from the linebackers to corners to safeties. A lot of bad angles, a lot of bad angle pursuits in this whole game. It was bad, man. It was really bad. You can start with Tavai. You can start with many guys on this team.
It was
rough, man. I mean, they were lacking a lot of simple football fundamentals in the beginning of this game. It cleaned up a little bit towards the second half, but the first half was rough as far as fundamentals.
Yeah. Also, the linebackers were atrocious in coverage. Other than Derek Barnes, you had Jalen Reeves-Maybin. I mean, he struggled in coverage today. He's a great special teams player, but I don't know if he could cover a guy. And Jelani Tavai, send that dude to the moon. Get him off my football team.
To the moon?
Bro, just get him. I don't know, man. I don't even know if this guy belongs on a practice squad. I'm being honest.
I think with Tavai, like, I've already came. I think we've all came to the realization that he's just not a good football player, right?
To the moon?
I was disappointed.
You know what I mean? Like, not literally. Come on.
Yeah, well, no. I'm thinking literally. Like, Jesus Christ.
Come on, bro.
Like, I've came to the realization that Jelani Tavai is just not a good football player, right? Like, I'm okay with that now. Like,
And then Campbell, like, praised him the other day, like,
yeah,
he's going to make the team. But after today, I don't see it, man. I just don't see it.
I don't care about that right now. I mean, 51, I've known this. He's not a good football player. But, man, I got to say, it was disappointing watching Daylon Reese-Maven today, man. It was a rough game for him. This is the guy that I've been talking about, I feel like, for a couple of years now, especially I would say the last year or so. I've been kind of wanting to see more of a defensive role for Daylon Reese-Maven, and he kind of got that opportunity today in that first half to start, you know, versus some Pittsburgh Steelers starting offensive players, and he wasn't good, man. I mean, every phase of the defensive side of the ball, like, he wasn't good, man. In coverage, he really, really struggled, because I thought maybe with his speed and kind of what we saw back to his college days in Tennessee, where he was a solid coverage linebacker, it's not translating to the NFL, at least as far as defensively. Pierre mentioned the special teams, and that's always going to be a role for him, and he's always going to have a role in the NFL because he's so good at special teams. But defensively, man, it was rough, dude. Pat Freiermuth, the rookie, he had a really good day versus Daylon Reese-Maven. Even the one play where I thought Aaron Glenn schemed Daylon Reese-Maven perfectly, where he found that open space where he can get to, I believe it was Mason Rudolph, who was the quarterback at that time. Daylon Reese-Maven made a very weak attempt at a tackle, and you could say he got the pressure and Levi Onwuzurike finished it, basically. But that's something where you want to see Daylon Reese-Maven, you know, put some hands into Mason Rudolph and make more of a true tackle outside of just, I don't even know what he did. Try to, like, throw his shoulder.
That was bad, bro. That was really bad, because Mason Rudolph is not really like a mobile quarterback, bro.
Yeah, and he escaped out of it.
That was like kind of like a lazy effort. It seemed like a lazy effort seen by Reese-Maven. Really.
And it was.
He tackled a couple times with his shoulders, and you don't do that. Like, you're taught to wrap and tackle. You're supposed to wrap. So that was bad by him. I don't know what it was.
It was good. It was a great play call by Aaron Glenn, though. A great play call.
Absolutely.
Because there was no one. Yeah, there was no one there to block Reese-Maven. And Raven got the pressure, and, you know, it ended up being a loss of a, you know, like, they didn't get much out of it because Onwuzurike was right there. But that's a play where you want to see Maven just get the sack there, get the play over with. Don't extend the play. Don't let Mason Rudolph even have a chance to make a play out of it. And Maven did. Maven let them have a chance out of it. And that's something in the film room they're going to get critiqued for, obviously. Maven's going to get critiqued for that, even though the play didn't end up, you know, much to anything. It was a play that was just frustrating to watch, you know?
Another one is, like, Tavai had Najee, I think it was, like, on a 43-yard run or something. I forgot how long the yard was, but...
Yeah.
So he basically had him, and then Najee gave him, like, a little stiff arm. Bro, Tavai is a big-ass linebacker. And him, like, he was literally there. He didn't even make an attempt to tackle the guy. Like, it's a little place like that. If you stop him there, okay, he's not getting a first down, or he's not running, like, for that much. Just the little plays in football that make a big difference. They had the right calls, but the players didn't execute.
I agree with that. I want to kick it off to Malcolm, too, because Malcolm has kind of been on this boat with me with Daylon Reese-Maven. So I want you to kind of go, you know, a little more with it. You know, were you disappointed with Maven? And what do you think a future role for Maven is? Like, do you think he could be in an NFL defense? Or is he just that guy that's what he's done in the NFL so far since he's been drafted since 17 and just kind of a special teams guy? Like, I was disappointed personally. What's your thoughts on, you know, Maven's game today?
it was tough to watch, man. That starting unit linebacking core was extremely tough to watch. You know, Reese-Maven, there was a guy in the past that he looked like a really good zone linebacker. Like, he could play his zone really well. He could, like, jump routes. You know, he seemed like a really good linebacker. But this game, it was tough. He couldn't cover a damn blanket, right? In that damn game, he couldn't cover anything. It was bad. And number 51. Oh my god! I was shocked that he even started. I was literally for the first, like, that first drive when they had the players out. You know, the Steelers had the ball first, and I saw who came out with the starting lineup. I was like, 51. I was shocked. Like, that dude is a complete 100% liability in coverage, or in open field. He can't in open field or in coverage. This is not going to happen for Tavai. It's just never going to happen for Tavai. Tavai's not going to make an open field tackle.
Yeah, another thing with Reeves Maven is he had like the green dot on his helmet, which means he was like the play caller on defense, so they trust him with that. But I just don't think right now he's like he's a linebacker. I think he's more of a special teams type of player. Maybe I'm overreacting. I don't know, but what I saw today just didn't impress me with him.
He just didn't look
maybe
like
he just
a starter.
Had a bad game. Yeah, he didn't look like he didn't even look like a backup, bro. He just didn't look good at all.
Didn't look good. Yeah, man. I mean. It was a weak performance.
It was terrible. And maybe it could have been because he was next to somebody that was just
it's possible.
Not there.
It's possible. Yeah, when you play with bad players, you look bad sometimes. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, oh, man, that was just a bad combination of a starting lineup for the linebacking core.
Yeah.
All right, now, like, I got to bring this up, guys. We're still going to see on the defense side. Ever since Derek Barnes came in and – well, we'll get on this, but since Derek Barnes and David Blau came in, it seems like they gave the Lions life. And did you guys see Derek Barnes basically like...
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Giving the defense a speech as a fourth round rookie.
Yeah, I did see that.
Wow. He's a steal. That guy, I'm telling you, man, he needs a start. I'm sorry, Alex, what's his last name?
Anzalone.
Anzalone. No. You need to put Derek Barnes in there. I don't see a scenario that Alex Anzalone is better than Derek Barnes. I can't picture it. Derek Barnes is playing his ass off.
Yeah.
I'm at the point, though, like, I know what you're saying, David Blau and Barnes, they brought some energy when they came in, and they absolutely did, but it was a different team for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the second half, and I think that's fair to say. Like,
it was, but, like, Tim Boyle was, like, overthrowing guys left and right.
He was.
Inaccurate with his passes. I gotta be honest, bro, and I said this when they signed him. I didn't like the signing. They gave him $1.5 million guaranteed, and Blau looks better than him.
I want to see David Blau versus more of a starting NFL defense, because I want to see what he would have done maybe in that first half if he was in Tim Boyle's situation. Because I'm not going to give a pass to Tim Boyle because he was really bad, like very bad. Like, I'm not giving him a pass. But I want to see maybe next game, because there's one more preseason game. And I know the Colts are probably not going to trot out too many starters. But, like, I'm actually really intrigued to maybe see guys like Derek Barnes, guys like David Blau, who, you know, like you said, brought that energy in the second half. Maybe let them start the game and see what they could do to start the game instead of playing the second half. Because I think we could all agree there's a totally different intensity from the first half to the second half in these preseason games. And that first half, you're going to get the guys fired up, and you're going to get fired up all throughout the game. But you're going to get more of the front line players of, you know, guys who have a legitimate shot at making the team. I want to see maybe David Blau get the start next week instead of Tim Boyle and see what he can do. Because Tim Boyle has had the opportunity 2 weeks in a row, you know, because he backed up Goff first one after the Buffalo game, after Goff's two drives. And then today he started the game. I want to see maybe the Lions give an opportunity to David Blau, because I think he earned that opportunity after today, because I think he definitely outplayed Tim Boyle today, not even close. I think David Blau deserves an opportunity to start the game next week versus the Colts. And I think Derek Brown deserves absolutely to start as well over a guy like Tavai or a guy like Reeves Maven. I want to see what a guy like Barnes could do maybe with, you know, more starters out there or more guys like expected to make the 53-man roster.
I agree.
Tyler, Barnes has made more plays in the two preseason games than Tavai has done in two seasons. That's not even an overreaction. I really don't.
No, but you're absolutely right. What is Jelani Tavai's, like, highlight moment? His interception where Jameis Winston threw a ball in his gut? Is that the only highlight we got of Jelani Tavai?
I mean, honestly, bro, his best year was his rookie year. And he was, like, okay. He was okay. But ever since his rookie, like, he's been really, really bad.
Yeah. I mean, Derek Barnes has been fun, dude. He's been so fun to watch in these two preseason games, man. He's doing everything. Like, he's been good in coverage. He's going sideline to sideline, making good NFL tackles, which we did not see in that first half. He's making good tackles.
He knows how to tackle. Yeah.
Yes. He's making good tackles. And when they send him to go out blitz, he actually wraps properly, too, and he's finishing the sacks off by himself because he's a big boy player. That's what Derek Barnes is.
If you're Aaron Glenn, bro, how can you not, like, play him in week one, like, with your first-team defense, or at least give him some looks on third down or something? Because he's so explosive and so fast. Like, he needs the packages on this team in week one. They don't want to start in that spot, but he needs to have his packages. If they think he still hasn't got the playbook down or whatever, or he's still, like, a little injured, just give him a package, bro, like third down package or whatever.
I know we're still really, really early into the process. We haven't even played a regular season game yet. But you got to be intrigued by what Brad Holmes has done so far and the philosophy of players he's looking at. Because it seems like every guy so far that's played from his draft class has made a positive impact and look like today's NFL players. And I know it's only two preseason games. So I'm not going to over-exaggerate. But guys like Levi Onwuzurike is making a huge contribute right away. Aleem McNeil is making a huge contribute right away. Derek Barnes has been, I think, the best rookie so far in this class, you know, in these two preseason games. Penei Sewell, I think, is holding his own. He's going through some struggles, but I think he's holding his own at right tackle, especially pass protection. Amon-Ra St. Brown, we've seen the flashes in training camp. We've seen the flashes in some of these games. Like, you got to be intrigued what Brad Holmes is building right now from just this draft class alone. Because these guys look like today's NFL players, and they look like guys who can contribute right away for you, and they look like guys who can contribute for the long run for your team. So I think you got to be really intrigued what Brad Holmes is building right now.
Yeah, and even like the undrafted kid, right? AJ Parker looked real good.
Jerry Jacobs.
I didn't really see him play.
He didn't play today, but he didn't really play today. But
he's hurt.
No. He was out there. But he played week one versus the Bills. I thought he was solid. I think he's just been a good name throughout the camp. But, yeah, you mentioned A.J. Parker. I mean, who the hell is A.J. Parker? The dude was starting in the first-team defense today in the nickel corner. And he was good.
And I think Bobby Price is still learning how to play corner, but the athleticism is there. You could see that. I think he's more like
that wasn't a Holmes guy.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, regarding, like, these young corners – I think he's more of like maybe a practice squad candidate for now. I don't know. But he could do a lot of things. He could play safety, he could play corner, he could play on special teams, but he just needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
All right.
He's an intriguing player.
I want to bring this up about AJ Parker, man, because, you know, he's a guy who got the start in the nickel. Could he potentially be the starting nickel?
I don't think so.
It's possible. I don't know, though.
I mean, he right now could potentially be ahead of Nicole Roby Coleman, who is the veteran, because Nicole Roby Coleman only played the second half today. It wasn't like they're resting Roby Coleman. Like, he played, but he didn't play with the starters today. He played in the second half. And
I'll see this.
And he was a late signing, too.
The Lions need another veteran in that room, another veteran corner. Or a safety. They just need a veteran in that room. They don't really have a. How do I say it? Like an older guy to mentor these young guys. They got Nickel Roby Coleman, but they need like maybe like a 30-year-old, 29-year-old. They need like an older dude.
Are you hinting at Trey Boston right now?
Am I?
Wow. So for now, I mean, I guess we're going to just say that Mike Ford is still going to be – you feel like Mike Ford still is going to be the starting nickel?
I do.
Week one.
I don't know because today he wasn't playing starting nickel. He was playing backup backup to Amani and Okuda,
yeah.
The top backup. So
I think they were trying to just see what they have right now. I still think it's Mike Ford in the starting nickel corner, honestly. But I think it's interesting now for guys like Corin Elder, though, like a guy who hasn't participated in quite some time now because of some injuries. I think that's more of interesting. I think a guy like AJ Parker could be one of those sneaky guys that makes his team over maybe an Elder, and I wouldn't be shocked if he's the backup nickel corner.
Yeah, and when you speaking of corners like Corin Elder, and then another thing to bring up too is Nick Williams. He got hurt in practice the other day. He came back from COVID, and these young defense tackles are stepping up. I mean, it's gonna when these guys are making plays and Nick Williams just hasn't been out there, it's gonna be hard to cut these young guys and keeping him. The Lions have tough decisions to make at that position.
All right, just to kind of wrap up this defense, I want to get to the offense now, but just to kind of wrap up this defense, I want to hear one guy each from us who's a young player who's kind of stood out to you. I know we mentioned AJ Parker, but if you guys could think of another one, who are some young defensive players, just overall so far in these first two games in camp, who are some young defensive players that kind of stood out to you and maybe could surprise you make this team?
Oh, Bruce Hector, Kevin Strong.
Give me one and give me a little analysis on them.
Let's say Kevin Strong.
Okay.
How do I say this? He had a strong game last week, right? This week he didn't play as much. Today he didn't play as much. They were looking more at the reserves. So I think Kevin Strong might be a lock right now.
Yeah, I mean, he played a little more in that second half, and he was good. He was good again.
Yeah, he didn't play that much. He just, they know what they have in him and they like him. So
I got a sneaky name. I'm not going to say he's going to make the team, but I got a sneaky name who I had zero expectations for.
I think I know who you're going to say, but go ahead.
Miles Brown, man. Miles Brown. Big defensive tackle. John Pennicini has been missing a lot of valuable time right now, and Miles Brown wasn't a guy I expected to step in and be a kind of disturber on the nose tackle spot, but that's a big motherfucker, dude. That's
Is
a
that
big
61?
Motherfucker. Yeah,
that 61?
61. Yeah, 61. No gloves. Yeah.
That motherfucker's huge. Yeah. That man built like a wall.
Hey, Peter, what do we call them? What do we call big these fuckers. Type of guys? We call them big fuckers. Miles Brown's a big
that
fucker.
That huge. That dude wears no gloves. He has no gloves. Nothing. Like, just out there just fucking shit up.
That screams a Tyler Sawat type of player, dude. A big fucker who's going to disrupt plays. That is a Tyler Sawat type player, dude. I've enjoyed Miles Brown genuinely this whole preseason so far. I think John Pennicini is missing some valuable time right now. I really do.
Huge time.
Because Pennicini's role is to be a big nose tackle and kind of do what Miles Brown is doing. But Miles Brown is healthy right now, and he's doing what we need John Pennicini to do right now. And if Miles Brown could do this for one more game, if he could have another good game week three, which he's going to get a lot more playing time, I believe, versus the Colts. Hey, if John Pennicini isn't healthy, I'm okay with Miles Brown being a nose tackle reserve on this team. I am completely fine with it because he's impressed me, honestly, so far. He's a big disturber. He's going to stop the run. He's not going to be the greatest at it, but he's going to be a big body. You could put on maybe first down, maybe some second down. I think there's a role for a Miles Brown, honestly, if Pennicini's not healthy.
Yeah, speaking of that, do you agree with me? Same with Nick Williams. If these guys are all performing, Hector, Miles Brown, Kevin Strong, right? Levy, yeah. Owen Zuruki, these guys are Lee McNeil. These guys are performing. Why keep Nick Williams?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you because with this type of team, you're not really looking for wins and losses, right? You're looking for guys who can maybe be part of this team in the long run. And, a guy like Nick Williams, I don't know what the future holds with a guy like Nick Williams with the Lions. I think you maybe have a better shot at developing a Kevin Strong or a Bruce Hector or a Miles Brown over trying to develop – trying to keep a Nick Williams, I get the experience because he has experience, and it would be nice to maybe have alongside with some young guys that are going to be here for a while, like a McNeil and a Onzerike. So, I don't know. But they do have Rockers in there already, so they have some veteran experience on the defensive line. So, I wouldn't be shocked if they prefer to go with a younger guy that, didn't really have much expectation over Nick Williams because they already have a lot of veterans on the defensive line. You got Romeo, you got Trey, and you got Brockers. So maybe three's enough. I don't know. We'll see. But if these guys continue to impress and Nick Williams is out, hey, don't be shocked.
The reason why I say that is because the Lions released Muehlbach and they kept Daly, right?
Yeah.
So I could see the Lions. Campbell did say in his press the other day they're looking more towards the long term.
Yeah, exactly.
But he also did say he's trying to be competitive. So that's why I'm just thinking about it. Nick Williams is a solid player. Like, he's decent. He's not, like, bad. He's not good. He's okay. But yeah, just where the team is at right now, I don't know if he, like, fits that timeline. Because what they said the other day in the presser kind of caught my eye a little.
Yeah, and I'm still not over that, but it's okay. Malcolm, who's a young defensive player that you had zero expectation for kind of standing out to you?
Yeah, this is a guy who – the guy I'm bringing up is a guy who, you know, he was drafted last year, got injured. And he was a guy who I thought, like, all right, he needs a big training camp and a big preseason to have a role on this team or to even make the roster, because we haven't seen anything from this guy. And that's Cornell, Jayshon Cornell. I mean, he's a guy who came in. He's filling in that starting role, the starting lineup, because of the guys who are out. And he's coming up big. Making big plays. He's a guy who I've been interested in these last two preseason games.
Yeah, he's been starting, like you said. He's interesting. He would have to be suspended for the first three games. So, you know, he's going to go on the suspension list right after preseason. So
yeah,
he can't initially make the initial 53-man roster. But that's a good decision the Lions can make after week three and going into week four. So that's going to be interesting. You mentioned it. He's been solid. And I'm going to throw an extra credit out there because this is a guy we've clowned on a lot, and I think he's actually been pretty solid so far. Now, that's Austin Bryant. No, Austin Bryant.
Oh, I was going to say.
He was good today against the Rams.
Yeah, I think he's actually been pretty solid on the edge so far in these first two games. He's been healthy finally. So, you know, that's an intriguing name.
Yeah.
Regarding Austin Bryant, I haven't seen much from Charles Harris. I've seen more from Austin Bryant. So I think Austin Bryant might be ahead of that if they decide to keep like one out of the two of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, Harris has got some solid pressures in there. He was starting as well today for them, so I don't know. We'll see.
I think it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough, and like Pierre was saying with Nick Williams, it's gonna be tough, man. And I've been hearing that Nick Williams had a solid camp when he was there.
He's been out for a little bit because of COVID.
He's not here, because of COVID,
and now he's hurt.
Now he's hurt, but they say when he's out there, he's been good. So
yeah. He was he was on the first team defense as well in camp. So
exactly,
yeah, he was.
You're right. So you're right. All right, I think that's a nice transition from the defense, and let's talk about a little more of the offense. Now we've already talked about the backup quarterbacks. We talked about Blau. We talked about Boyle. We want to see more of Blau maybe next game. But let's talk about this receiving core, because the Lions still have a big need at this receiving core, and there still hasn't really been that one guy that stepped up. I'm going to kick it off to Malcolm. Has there been any positives from this receiving core you've seen so far in these preseason games yet?
Not really. It's been tough. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of these guys just haven't had time. And I'm talking about because of the offensive line, giving the quarterback less time in the pocket, he can't really make big plays or plays in general. He's checking it down a lot because – the pocket's collapsing. He's trying to, you know, scramble for his life, or maybe just not getting open. So it's been tough, especially this game without majority of the starters playing and Golf not playing. It's just tough to watch because those guys, the receivers, just haven't had the time to get open.
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both, because I honestly thought today the backup offensive line was way better than week one, because week one was horrendous. I thought today it wasn't pretty, but it was better. Like, Matt Nelson struggled very badly today at the left tackle position.
Was he going against Alex Highsmith, though? And Highsmith's pretty talented, right?
In the first half, he was.
Yeah.
I don't know who he was going up against. He was a little better in the second half, but the first half, he was really rough. It was a big position for him. He was playing left tackle. That's the first time he's played left tackle in a NFL game. So, I mean, it wasn't great. So,
he wasn't good today.
I thought the backup offensive line was better today. They gave the quarterback more time. But it seems like it's a lot, at least in that third quarter and fourth quarter when David Blau was in, because David Blau was running a lot. I feel like there was time for Blau to throw the ball, but I feel like the receivers – I don't have the angle, so I can't say for exactly, but it didn't seem like they were getting open for Blau to throw the ball to them, you know. But yeah. it's tough to tell when you don't have the coach's film right now, and you can't look at all the angles right now, because I can't tell you for sure that Blau was missing receivers or these receivers weren't getting open, because obviously we were just watching the broadcast. But
yeah,
I don't know.
It's tough to tell, because you just can't see, because you're just going by
what you saw on TV.
Exactly. Yeah. But the second half, the offensive line, well, Blau, they played well. They played better. But that first half, they struggled to me.
Tyler, I thought your boy Skipper bounced back nicely this week.
He did, man.
70 bounced back. He played well.
Looked like he was playing a right tackle today.
He was. He took over for Sewell after, and he played basically the whole game, I think, after Sewell. But, yeah, Dan Skipper was good. Thank God that I can't even think of his name. I don't think he got a snap. Thank God the guy from Utah, Dan
Palalto.
Palalto, whatever the fuck his name is. Thank God I didn't have to watch him today. Thank God I didn't have to watch him today. Thank God. I know Matt Nelson was rough today, but I'd rather watch Matt Nelson than that. That was terrible. Dan Skipper had a bounce back week. I believe Stenberg. I thought Tommy Kramer, he played a lot too. He wasn't terrible either from the interior spot. He's another undrafted guy, I believe, from Notre Dame. So, he wasn't a standout by any means, but I thought he was okay today. He played a lot in this game today after Jonah Jackson and Big V. So, that's something. Stenberg played a lot too. I thought he was okay. Like, I don't think anyone outside of Matt Nelson was, like, terrible on the offensive line today, you know? I didn't really have any guy that, like, was consistently getting beat outside of Nelson today.
Yeah, I have to go back and watch, but, like, by the eye test, Matt Nelson was, like, the only bad player.
Like, standout bad one, right? Like, significant.
Yeah. But, again, like he was going against Highsmith, and he's never really played left tackle, so it was a good test for him.
It was, and it just didn't go really well for him. But, I mean, he's young. He's an undrafted kid. He was an undrafted kid from last year, so, there's going to be – this was a good learning experience, I think, for him as well.
Yeah. Speaking of O-line, I thought Sewell did okay with Melvin Ingram. He had little problems with him, but it's Melvin Ingram. He's a rookie. I just think Sewell is still getting comfortable playing right tackle. He doesn't look super comfortable yet, which is normal. He's a rookie, and he hasn't played right tackle since high school. Like, you could tell, but he's also working hard at it, and he bounces back. Like, when he has a bad play, he corrects what he did wrong, and he bounces back. That's what I love about him. Like, you don't see the same mistakes with him.
Yeah, that's good. It's not a repeating issue like we've seen from 51.
Shit, don't talk about 51.
I'd rather have 57 over 51. Just saying.
I'm just so tired of him.
Who's 57? Anthony Pittman?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. He's the least of my concerns right now, man. As far as Penny Sewell, he just is a guy who just needs to get comfortable in that right tackle position. That's it. Just him just being comfortable. He's gonna take some time.
All
pro. He's gonna be an all pro. This is what it is. But yeah, he's the least of my concerns right now.
It's gonna take some time for Sewell though. Like, I wouldn't expect him to come out right away and look dominant. Like week one, week two. It's gonna take some time, but then maybe it'll take a few weeks. Maybe it'll take the entire year. But he has a really bright future in this league.
All right. Let's talk about some running backs now, because this guy just won't stop. Craig Reynolds, man. Craig Reynolds got another touchdown today. Another week, another touchdown for Craig Reynolds. The guy that got introduced in the team huddle last week and went brazy. Craig Reynolds, guys. What's your guys' thought to start off with Malcolm here?
I'm pissed. You already know why I'm pissed.
Why are you pissed? Oh, NFL Network cut off for you, so you couldn't watch Craig Reynolds.
I missed all of Craig Reynolds. Yep, I missed the whole damn thing. I missed the whole comeback with David Blau looking nice and throwing, leading. I missed all that shit. I'm pissed.
Right. Well, skip Malcolm because he has no Craig Reynolds analysis right now. So
God damn it.
Pierre, what's your thoughts on Craig Reynolds again?
I'll say this with Reynolds, bro. He's really hard to bring down. I know he's playing against, like, practice squad guys and guys who might not make the NFL. But this dude plays hard. I want to see him. Like, we talked about Barnes and Blau with the first team.
I was just going to say that.
I want to see Reynolds with the first team. And shout out to the other guys, too. I can't say Godwin Igbokwe,
the former safety from Northwestern. We'll just say
yes, running back Dedrick Mills. I mean, these backs, bro, and even Jamar Jefferson, like all these backs today played well, and they're gonna have a tough decision. Who's gonna be the RB4 if they carry an RB4?
If they carry four, yeah. So
yeah,
I'll say this. I mean, I haven't seen. I mean, I haven't seen. I watched Jamar Jefferson this game because when he started
and he took
the first three carries, he played really. He bounced back really good, and it looked like as soon as he made those three runs, it was like, let's pull you. And that was it. So he looked nice those first three runs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's a good running back three for like a good blanket for our starters like Swift and Jamal Williams. I think he's a guy you can activate on game days. And I think if someone were to go down, I think he's a good blanket, honestly. I like Jefferson. He's a good north to south runner, you know, just he's a traditional running back. I like him.
Do you, like, how many running backs do you think we will carry into week one?
I guess I'd say four. A fullback five. Yeah, okay. I had a guess.
Man, that's tough. It is tough because we're coming from a scheme that really likes running backs. Like Anthony Lynn, former running backs coach, Dan Campbell, tight ends coach. Like, you know, they're really big into the run game. So I know they want all the, you know, the security they could have. It's tough. I have a good feeling they'll carry a fullback, which will be Jason Kambinda. So I have a good feeling he'll be one of the guys in that backfield. And then obviously Swift and Williams, and I think Jefferson's in there. I'll go with Pierre. I think it's five as well. But I wouldn't be shocked if it's four in the backfield, like with the fullback. So three running backs.
And then you just call up a guy on practice squad or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
That makes sense.
So, do you think it's going to come down to Craig Reynolds, Godwin, I'm not going to say his last name, and Dedrick
and,
Mills?
And Mills, yeah.
I think
don't think they need to sign anybody or anything. I don't think it needs to be a veteran. Like, I remember the question was a month ago, oh, should we go get Todd Gurley? I don't think we need a veteran. I think it should be one of these guys if you're going to carry another running back, you know? I think it should be one of these guys if they decide to go that route.
Yeah, they don't need Gurley anymore.
That's gonna be one hell of a competition between those three backs. Because
if they end up going with four,
it's a tough decision. All of those guys deserve it. Like all those three guys we've mentioned, they've all played hard and they've all made plays when their name is called. So it's gonna be hard. It's a hard decision to make.
It is. So it's tough, man. Because I have a feeling they might go full running backs just because, like I mentioned, they have a running back history, and that's obviously their. I feel like their identity on offense.
You also have the Swift nagging injury, so that might be like, okay, we need to bring on another guy just in case if he can't go or something.
I agree with that. I think out of the three, I think Reynolds brings the most versatility. I think you could use him in the passing game. I think he's a good runner as well. Good vision. I think he's been my favorite out of the three that we just mentioned, out of Mills and the former safety out of Northwestern. I'm not going to try to say his name, but I think Reynolds has impressed me so far. And I, like Pierre said, I want to see him get some more valuable reps in the next preseason game versus the Colts. Maybe play the first quarter, play the second quarter, let him start the game potentially and see what he could do.
Yeah, I want to see also, like, we don't really get to see these guys that much in pass pro, but, like, in training camp they do. So, also, whichever one of these guys is better at pass pro has a better chance at making it too, because pass pro is really important.
It's very, very important. Very important.
Yeah.
I think Jamar Jefferson, that's what's going to make it. Like, that's a good reason why he's going to make this team as well, because I think he's been solid in pass protection as well when getting the opportunity. And like I mentioned, he's been a good north to south runner for this football team.
And I've read he's also flashed as a receiver in training camp. Like, he's looked good. So
we haven't seen that in these preseason games.
We haven't seen that. Yeah. Maybe they're saving it.
But that's good.
But
that's good. That's good to hear. It's good to hear. Okay, so we covered running backs, we covered receivers, we covered the offensive line, so we covered quarterbacks. We basically covered the offense already. I guess let's talk about special teams now, because the special teams had some great moments. I thought Jack Fox looked phenomenal today, man. I mean, he looks like he's in midseason form, and what he did last year was definitely not a fluke. I mean, he looked phenomenal today.
Yeah, just give this guy an extension right now, seriously.
I agree, man. I agree. Yeah. My only knock on Jack Fox, he's a St. Louis Cardinals fan. That's literally the only knock I got on Jack Fox.
I don't care. He can be a fan of whoever he wants. If he's punting like 70-yard bombs in a preseason game, hand this guy an extension.
But when you're a fan of a baseball team that I dislike, and he rubs it in my face. No, I don't. that's my only knock on Jack Fox.
What, he came up to you like, I'm a Cardinals fan, or something.
So I saw him at Comerica Park, and he brought up the 2006 World Series at least 3-4 times, which they obviously beat the Detroit Tigers in the 2006 World Series.
Okay. So he was messing with you. So that's funny.
Yeah.
So my only knock on Jack Fox. I would accept
him. Screw that. I don't care.
No, they should honestly like that. Even after this year, he's like ERFA, which means like he could get tendered again.
Yeah.
But honestly, this man deserves to get a contract. Like, seriously, pay him right now before he commands more in the future, and see what happens.
And he's young. He's still young, right?
Yeah.
He's 24.
And it's only his third year in the league? Yeah. Like, fully?
Punchers last, like, till they're 40.
I'll try to get this dude, like, a 7-year fucking contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Lock him up.
And speaking of special teams, the Lions are not testing these kickers out. And they haven't had many opportunities, but, like, they're not putting any even trust into preseason games to these kickers because there was an opportunity. It was a 4th-and-2, and Campbell went for it. And maybe in, like, the regular season, he will actually go for it, but I was actually kind of intrigued to maybe see him trot out Randy Bullock or trot out Zane Gonzalez and go for a little longer field goal. Like, it was a 40-plus yard field goal. I want to see some opportunities because in these first two games, there's literally not been a legitimate 40-plus yard field goal for either Gonzalez or Bullock. And that's a position I've been, like, super concerned about the whole offseason, and there's not been really much good reports in camp. And, you know, the one they had, the family friend, whatever the hell they call it, the Ford Field Family Fest game. There wasn't good reports in the game. So I want to see maybe, like, just test these guys a little bit more because there was an opportunity in this game to kick a field goal 40-plus yards, and they didn't take it. They ended up going for it on 4th down, and I feel like this is the time of year. You know, maybe in the regular season you'll really go for it, but like I feel like now in the preseason, see what you got with these kickers, man. Because
Tyler, I disagree with you.
Why?
It's 4th and 2. You're down what, 20-some points?
It's a preseason game, though. I'm just curious about the situation.
It doesn't matter, bro. Like, you just kind of like you want to have that attitude. You want the guys to like have that attitude. You know what I mean?
You want your players and your coaches to have that attitude.
Even in the preseason, bro, because it's preseason for the coaches. You want to have that attitude. You want to be aggressive. That's what I love about Dan Campbell. He's aggressive.
If I knew who my kicker was, I would agree 110% for you. If we had Matt Prater, I would agree
110%. You could do the kick things in, like, training camp, bro. See who makes, like – you could test them out in training camp. I don't know.
I just want to see these guys, man. Like, I want to see them. I want to see with my own eyes. I want to see – what Bullock could do.
Let's be honest. If you're down 20-some points and you bring out a field goal kicker for 3, nah, I'm not for that.
If it's the regular season,
that's something Patricia would do. Now, Patricia would do that shit. That he would do that, okay? Campbell was like, nah, I'm going for it. I don't give a fuck. Like, I love that aggressive mindset. It doesn't matter if it's the preseason, regular season, playoffs.
What's your thoughts on this, Malcolm?
I see it both ways, man. The thing is with Campbell, he played a game. He's very competitive. So, yeah, it's preseason. In your mind, you know, you're like, all right, it doesn't matter. He think it doesn't matter, but he's like, fuck, I don't want to, you know, I want to be competitive.
I understand.
I think that's the way he's looking at it. Even though, you know, you have to evaluate your kickers and see what's going on, he still want to have that competitive edge, you know. He wants him to compete. You don't want them to be, all right, 28-something zip. Let's kick the field goal.
Yeah, and Malcolm, when you have 32 guys that aren't going to make the roster, you want to see how they respond to, like, adversity. You don't want to, like, be like, all right, let's just kick a field goal and then go back on defense. No, man, go for that shit. Like, you want to see if your team is, like, how do I say it? Like, you want to play for these three.
Yeah,
bro. I mean, kicking a field goal is kind of like, it's like a weak mindset.
But who is my starting kicker going into the season?
Exactly. I was going to say, on the flip side, you don't really know who your starting kicker is.
You can start that out in camp. That's not a problem, bro.
Kicking in camp and kicking under pressure in a game is different.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they already know who the kicker is.
Maybe they already know. I think it's Randy Bullock because he has guaranteed money on his contract. Even the thing is with the quarterback competition, they gave Boyle $1.5 million guaranteed versus Boyle has no money guarantees. That's another thing is it's just like, so does money play a factor? Because
I think Bullock has
$250,000, so $750,000 guaranteed on his contract versus Zane Gonzalez has nothing. So that'll be interesting to see what they do there too.
I don't know. As far as the backup quarterback position, I don't know.
I got to be honest, the free agent signings, I'm not really crazy about them. But they're one-year deals, so it's like whatever.
I don't feel comfortable with any of those guys if Goff goes out. I said this before. I just don't.
Like the Randy Bullock thing doesn't really look like it's going to work out. Rashard Perriman's already demoted. Killiff Raymond set out the game, so Raymond is healthy from what I know.
I agree with you, Pierre. None of these free agents have really stood out in any way.
But again, they're just one-year deals.
Yeah, Khalif Raymond,
yeah. But that's like, in general, the free agent class just isn't, I'm not all that impressed. And today, Darren Fells had like three penalties.
I counted.
Three penalties, whatever it was. Yeah. You can't have that, man, for a guy like that. You just can't.
Yeah, he's a vet. But I think he's a solid. I mean, I'm not really too worried about Darren Fells. You know,
I'm not worried about Fells.
Solid player, smart player. Just made some mistakes. Not really worried about him.
No, but free agency is a little like, I don't know. I think next year, maybe because they're like rebuilding, they just want to get some vets in.
You have to attack. You got to get guys who are going to be, more part of this future. Because right now, I don't know if there's any free agent from this year that we're going to re-sign next year. I think the only guy that's on my radar right now, like I know it's only preseason and that this could obviously change. Like Terrell Williams could ball out and he could be on that radar, or Breshad Perriman, whatever. I think the only guy on my radar now is Khalif Raymond. I think maybe
Anzalone too. We haven't really seen him that much. Linebacker.
I just feel like Anzalone is what he is. Like he's not going to be ever a great player, but I feel like he's just going to fill his role in and be an okay player for you.
Solid.
But I think Khalif Raymond is a guy who's only had 16 receptions, I believe, in the last 4 years. I feel like maybe in a bigger role, he might have something to say about it. I don't know. I mean, he's been an outstanding name in camp so far from these beat guys. I think he's the guy we got to mention a little bit more, and just I want to see maybe what he could do because he's getting a legitimate opportunity now. This is his first time in the NFL. He's getting a legitimate opportunity. I believe he's been waived 4 to 6 times. I believe I've counted. I believe it was 4 to 6 times he's been waived.
Oh, wow.
So this is his first time he's getting a legitimate opportunity.
Yeah, the Lions didn't play him today, so it tells you what they think about him. I don't think he's hurt. I'm not sure, but. They didn't play him today, so.
Yeah, so. Wow. And as far as going into special teams, because that relates to special teams, I think he's going to be the starting kicker and punt returner as well for this team.
Yeah, if I had to guess right now, because these guys just don't look like it. And another thing is, too, with like how we mentioned with Reynolds, I thought he had a nice return. So that might help him, like if they're trying to choose who to keep.
I thought the special teams outside of Jack Fox was really bad, though. Like, Jack Fox had a great punt. I believe it was third or fourth punt in that game, and they ended up giving, like, a 41-yard return in that. Like, that was just unexcusable. Like, the punt return game wasn't great, and the kick return game was really bad. I believe it was Jordan Leak that was the guy who was mainly taking him out. Just didn't really have any Javon opportunity Leak, to break it. Javon Leak, sorry. He didn't really have any opportunity to really just do much with that. I don't know. The blocking wasn't great. A lot of holdings, like a lot of stupid penalties in this game, and that's just stuff you need to clean up.
Well, guys, I have some good news. So Campbell, after tonight's game, he said there are some guys that maybe were counted on that have a chance of making this team, and there's some ones that maybe everybody thought was going to make it, and they're not going to make it. Is he talking about 51?
Did everyone expect 51 to make the team? I guess.
Yes. The other day, not me, but the other day that we spoke about him, it sounded like he already made the roster, but now...
I'll say this. I think it could either be him or Breshad Perriman.
I wouldn't be shocked if it was Breshad Perriman. I just don't think any of these receivers have stepped
that's
up, though.
Hard to cut him, though. Like, they gave him, what, $2 million guaranteed, was it?
Yeah, but $2 million, you could eat that. You could eat that easily. Yeah, $2
million? It's not like...
Yeah, but it's like...
And they're all one-year deals, so it's eating those contracts aren't big deals, honestly.
Oh, no, it wasn't $2 million. My bad. It was a mess.
If he lost a starting job to Khalif Raymond.
Oh, yeah, it was $1.5 million, $2.5 million, and he got $2 million guaranteed. So, yeah.
That's tough. How do you lose your job to a kick returner?
I hold on to him. I wouldn't cut him because, I mean, he has speed.
They haven't had any other guy really step up to, I think, take a Brashad Perriman spot. Like, if one of these UDFAs stepped up, I would say sure. I think the only guy that you can make an argument is not a UDFA, but it's Tom Kennedy.
Wait a minute. Oh, did you even see Cesar Rod today?
He got a drop today.
Yeah, he had a drop. I just haven't seen much from him.
When your TV turned off.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, Javon McKinley scored a touchdown when your TV went off.
Yeah, I saw that. I had to keep it up the old-fashioned way.
I think McKinley is a practice squad player, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I could see that. I think a lot of these guys are practice squad players. Like, I'd be okay if they, like, you know, kept them and tried to develop them. But I think as far as receiving core, like, I think Terrell Williams obviously makes his team. Amon Ross St. Brown, Khalif Raymond, Quintez Cephas, I think, makes his team. I think he had some nice moments today.
I think Tom Kennedy over Victor Bolden right now, because Bolden he's looked good in camp, but he's looked bad in games.
Like, he just hasn't done that. He didn't really get an opportunity today, but he looked terrible week one versus the Bills.
He didn't play at all. Did he even play today?
I don't think he did play.
I did see him out there. Did he play? I don't think he got targeted.
Tom Kennedy was the main target for Blau. That was his favorite go-to.
He was.
I'm telling you, man. Tom Kennedy's turning into this era's Jace Billingsley.
You guys remember when Kennedy came in? It was like versus the Packers, like what it was 2 years ago. Stafford was out there, and he put up like a bunch of yards. Was that Kennedy?
Tom Kennedy's only been activated for one NFL game ever.
Who was the practice squad player that went off against? Never mind. I'm getting off topic. Never mind.
Hold up. I want to think about this real quickly. Monday Night Football?
I forgot, to be honest. It was like last week of the game. And Taylor Decker threw the ball into the crowd. It was that game. The one versus the Packers, the last game of the year.
That was David Blau.
That was David. Who did he throw it to?
I don't know.
Never mind. I don't know. I'm confused now. Never mind.
But four targets.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Tom Kennedy had four targets, four receptions, 61 yards. I mean, he was the receiver for this game.
He was.
You know what it reminds me of? Like, you know, Jace like the Edelmans and the Amendolas?
He's Jace Billingsley.
I say it's like, you know those short
slot wide receivers? Yeah, he reminds me like of those Patriots white slot wide receivers.
Yeah, 100%.
I saw a tweet today. It was like, I hope Belichick isn't watching because we wave him. He's going to claim him.
He probably will.
100%.
No, he actually 100%. Probably will. That's not a joke. He probably will. He will
be, no, Patricia knows him too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, he could be a star over there. They viewed him as like Amendola's replacement. Like,
all right, guys. I mean, Tom Kennedy been here for years. We know what Tom Kennedy could do out of the slot. Yeah. He's reliable. Throwing the ball, he could come. He's most likely gonna come down with it.
But he's a guy. I'm gonna say no right now. But he's a guy I want to see in that first team in that Colts game too, because every time we've seen him, it's just like Jace Billingsley. It's always in garbage time, like the second half of the preseason game. Like, he never gets any valuable time in the preseason games. He shines in his time, and that's good. But like, he never gets like when more starters are out there, because he's only been activated for one NFL season game, and this is going to be his third year now. And that was that Chiefs game. I believe he was a healthy scratch that game. I don't even think he was like activated, but he was on the active roster. And that's
how he got a catch in a regular NFL game?
No, I don't think he's ever been. I don't think he's ever dressed up for an NFL game. He's been on an active roster for an NFL game. I don't think he's ever dressed up. And if he did, it was that Chiefs game, Week 4, in 2019.
That's tough. Shoot, I want to see him again. I want to see him, you know, get that first look against the starters. I want to see.
He should get the start next week, I think, versus the Colts.
I mean, he's been reliable.
I'll say it right now, like the way he's been playing the past couple weeks, I think he makes it.
You think I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, and then also Blau praised them too. So, I don't know, man. He always shows up, bro. He just shows up.
He does.
He knows how to get open.
He just reminds me of Billingsley. He reminds me of Billingsley. And that's fine.
He's better than Billingsley, in my opinion.
I think he's better than Billingsley.
Yeah, maybe, I think he's a lot better.
I don't know. I thought Jace Billingsley was the same exact thing when I saw him, honestly. Like, the small slot receiver, always made plays in preseason, but just never got an opportunity. And Jace Billingsley was the same thing. He got activated for one game, didn't even get activated that game. Like, he's the same story. They had the same exact story. And Tom Kennedy's going to end up being a rapper one day, just like Jace Billingsley.
No, he's not.
He's going to make a diss track about Patricia, just like Jace Billingsley.
No, he's not. I think if he gets a solid opportunity to play, to get some playing time, I think he could be a good receiver out the slot. He just need a shot.
The thing is, though, with TK,
I want to see him as a starting corner.
Does he have specialty? Because when you keep like wide receivers, an extra wide receiver, do they have special teams of value? We haven't really seen much from him as a returner. And I don't know if he like that, – that's the thing. Like, he's only a slot receiver. He can't really play outside either.
No.
So it depends if they value just mainly just backup slot. Like, it depends if they want that.
He can play punt return.
He was – the one camp I went to, which was only a walkthrough, he was – the third punt returner or the kick returner in that rotation.
No, so Malcolm, he could, but what I'm trying to say is, like, he's not the guy. That's Cleve Raymond's job.
I agree with Pierre there. Like, he could do it, but it's not, like, your number one option of doing that.
No. I'm saying, if Cleve Raymond got hurt, he'd be a solid guy to put back there.
I don't know who you'd put back there. Maybe you would put Jamar Jefferson or Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think you touch Swift, obviously.
Even so, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I don't want him back there.
Yeah. I mean, maybe as a rookie, it's not as big of a deal because I feel like as rookies, those guys maybe get some more of that role. Like, Golden Tate did that his rookie year in Seattle. So it wouldn't be completely shocking if Amon-Ra St. Brown is this backup punt returner or backup kick returner. I wouldn't be completely shocked by that. So I don't know. The thing with TK, I agree with Pierre. I just don't think there's enough versatility for me to keep him on this roster. I know he makes plays. I like him on the practice squad. If someone were to go down in the slot, I would be completely fine if he got promoted for a game or two or however long it needed to be. That's all I see in TK, honestly.
That's the thing. I think he'll make it right now, but like, it's a tough decision because what does he do other than wide, like a slot receiver? There just isn't much.
And how many receivers do you carry?
Yeah, let me ask you. I was going to ask you, if you think Tom Kenny makes the roster, who you think doesn't make it? Like, who's going to be that guy?
How many are you carrying? And then, like,
who'll be that guy that's not going to make it?
Well, it depends how many tight ends they carry. Do they want to carry three or four? And then with the corners and the DBs, it just depends. Same with the linebackers. Like, they have the linebacker room. It's not good right now. After the starters, the depth is bad. Do they bring in, like, they could also, like, obviously the waiver wire is a big tool. The Lions found Romeo Okwara that way.
And they have the seventh priority.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, just like this, I could see them, you know, once the cuts come through and then waiver wire Sunday, I could see the Lions claiming one of those receivers, depending who's out there, obviously. Yeah. I think the Lions could be – I think once we see some more cuts, I feel like we're going to see Pierre, you're going to see me, you're going to see Malcolm tweet – hey, this could be a name for the Lions. It's going to come. It's going to come. I can already tell you that.
Every year it happens. I always list like five or six guys that are like on the waiver wire.
There's always some solid waiver wire pickups on Sunday. So I feel like there's going to be someone out there, and I feel like they might be more valuable to a 53-man roster than a TK to me. I don't know. We'll see because that's, you know, we don't know who's going to be.
And then you also like some trades happen because guys are going to get cut. So they like swap like late round picks. They do conditional trades. I could see that too. Like that happens a lot during this time.
Especially someone like a connection with Campbell and Holmes. So like I would look at Rams players. I would look at Saints players. Maybe some Chargers players. Yeah. With them.
Browns because John Dorsey drafted for the Browns.
Yeah. Like I would look at those connections. I'm trying to think what else. Maybe even Eagles because you got Deuce Staley. Maybe if there's like a interesting running back slash receivers. Yeah, like
the special teams guy.
I would look at those type of guys. So, you know, those are the teams I would really keep an eye out for. You know, who they end up waiving after the third preseason game because those could make sense for the Lions because they'll obviously be familiar with a lot of those guys and you know, maybe they'll be comfortable with claiming them on their 53-man roster.
Like a Buccaneers wide receiver, like for example, like Tyler Johnson, right?
Yeah, because
Antoine Randle. Oh, yeah. He was assistant wide receivers coach, so he knows him.
Yep.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, even Mark Brunell, maybe he brings something. Like, he was with the Jaguars, so maybe he has some knowledge on the Jaguars. So we'll see.
He played for them. I don't think he coached.
I think
them.
He was the radio guy for them, if I'm not mistaken. So
okay.
So I think he would be like a Herman Moore, kind of like with the Lions. If he were to ever get a job, I feel like he would have that, like, you know, that knowledge, like a Lomas Brown, Herman Moore, like, oh, he would have that type of knowledge. I think that's what Mark Brunell was with the Jaguars, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong on that, but I believe that's what he was.
All right. Is that a wrap, Ty?
That is a wrap. We covered every topic that I had. So hope you guys all enjoyed. This was fun, boys. This was a lot of fun for a pretty crappy game. This was a lot of fun after.
Yeah.
Overall, oh, I actually have one more topic. Sorry. Oopsie doopsie baller of the week, just to wrap up the show. So I'm going to start off with you, Pierre. Baller of the week.
I'm going to give it to three guys. Offense, defense, or special teams. Offensively, David Blau. Like, he brung life to the team. Defensively, Derek Barnes. Also, like, brung life to the team. Was just all over the ball. And then special teams, Jack Fox.
Yeah. I don't think there's any arguments there. Malcolm, you have any arguments?
Nope, no arguments. No arguments there.
No arguments. Oopsie doopsie of the week. We'll give it to – I mean, this is common at this point. 51. I won't even have, he doesn't deserve a name anymore. I think last year we came to a point where we had a nickname for him. We called him JT. Nope. We're not even calling him his name anymore. He's just 51 at this point because he should be treated like a camp body now. We shouldn't know his name. We should know him by his number. He's 51 now at this point. So 51 is oopsie doopsie of the week. I'm done. I'm done with it. I've been done with it, but like, I'm really done with it now with the experiment. So 51 is the oopsie doopsie of the week. You guys got any arguments there?
Nope. No arguments. No, bro. What a disappointment, man. What a disappointment, man.
Do you guys think he'll make it through the cuts on Monday? So by Monday, they have to be at – or by Tuesday, they have to be at 80 players. Do you think he'll make the cut?
They're going to give him another game.
I think he will.
Well, the depth because we don't have much, just because
we have much depth. Just because we don't have much depth right now. But when they go from what is it, 83?
85 to 80, right, Pierre?
They go 85 to 80.
85 to 80 and then 80.
And
to
then the following week is 80 to 53.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the big one. That's the I think that's when he's gonna be jobless.
And I would say fans, I say this every year and I gotta remind you every year. That week or that weekend I should say, be nice. I mean, these guys are losing their jobs. Like, be nice to these guys. I know we clown on 51, but at the end of the day, if he is one of these cuts, like, be respectful. Like, I don't be super excited that he got cut. Like, I know he's not on our football team, and that's probably fine. But, like, this sounds very hypocritical because we were just very rude to Jelani Tobias. But, like, at the end of the day, these guys are humans.
No, like, so, don't tag them on Twitter and
that's
stuff
what I'm
like
saying.
That. Like, don't tag them on social media.
Be respectful to these guys during that week because at the end of the day, they lost their jobs and they don't know what's next for them. They could get another job in the NFL or this could be it for them. So, you know, I would just say be respectful during that week.
Yeah, don't go out. Like, you could be excited for cutting a player. It's not a big deal. But don't go out and, like, tagging them, be like, you got cut, you suck or whatever. You know, don't tag these players because it's tough. They're human beings too. Like, you got to remember that.
Yeah, you got to cut them some slack. They're young. You know, this is, you know, don't act like how we acted when we fired Patricia and Bob Quinn.
That's different.
We damn near had a party over here.
We did. I remember you edited some, like, celebration.
Yeah, we had a celebration over here. Yeah, we definitely partied over here when that happened. But don't do that. Yeah.
No, you could do that. Just don't tag him. You could celebrate. Who cares? Just don't tag him and don't talk shit to him. Yeah, Malcolm, we got to be honest. If they caught him, we're going to celebrate on this podcast. Come on.
I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss him. He's my annual Oopsie-Doopsie of the year.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to nominate? Who's going to be your weekly go-to for Oopsie-Doopsie of the week?
I don't know because he's always like the scapegoat. Or, I mean, he's not a scapegoat.
I have one, but I'll text you guys. I don't want to spoil it on here after him. All right, let's have this.
Okay. All right.
Another Tavai on our team? Oh, man.
All right, guys. Hope you guys all enjoyed this live episode on Spotify Green Room. Appreciate all the people that are here live with us listening. If you guys weren't here live, no problems. You guys are listening right now on your podcast platform. It's always much appreciated. We will be back next week before the Colts game, and we'll be after for what we're doing right now, the post game for the Colts game. We're going to just do what we just did right now. Talk about the team. Some guys stood out. Some guys disappointed. And then we will also probably be dropping a Skype episode before that game. So look out for that as well. It's always much appreciated if you guys could leave a 5-star on Apple Podcasts or wherever the hell you guys are listening. And with that, I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. I'm out.
All right. It's your boy Malcolm, and I am out. Peace.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.